I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brooking and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, a West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. This is more than just a podcast. Podcast! Wee. I'm trying to be cheery.
Season 7, episode 8.
I'm trying to be cheery because I'm back. It's 8. Episode 8, but it's take 2.
Okay.
I'm here with Sean. Hello, Sean.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon, Georgie. Welcome back after your honeymoon, then your sickness, and then whatever you've been doing for the last 400 weeks.
It wasn't a honeymoon.
What was it then?
It was just a holiday.
Engagement holiday.
Yeah.
We have told the listeners all about your engagement and your illnesses and everything else.
I listened. And I'm here with John. Hello, John.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Yeah, really good, thanks.
Hey.
And Nigel joins us. Hello, Nigel.
I do indeed. Hello.
Are you in your shed?
I'm in my shed.
Very nice.
That's his catchphrase.
Is it? I'm going to have a t-shirt made with that.
I'm in my shed.
So we have one game to discuss to start us off today, which was the enthralling tie between West Ham and Swansea on Saturday. So I know we all made it. Nigel, you weren't planning to make it, but you made it in the end.
Left early, though.
Did you see the goal?
No. I heard the booing when Sacco came on, and I thought, blimey, some people, I just can't be pleased, can they? But still.
We didn't boo in the lower tier. It must be an upper tier thing.
Well, I was downstairs on the concourse walking round. So, just as he...
No one booed around us.
The old stadium booed. It sounded like the old stadium.
No way.
I'm telling you now, I was down by the big screen at the bar, and they announced that Chicharito was coming off, and they were, ooh, and I thought, oh, my life. Get a grip, people.
But don't you... I think that reaction was because he'd taken Hernandez off rather than Sacco.
Yeah, it wasn't for Sacco. I don't think that was booing Sacco. No, it was booing Bilic for taking Hernandez off.
Yeah, well, that's...
It was.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, but it just shows you how fickle fans can be, isn't it?
Yeah, some leave at 75 minutes.
Some weren't supposed to be there, to be fair, so he was happy to leave.
You're either in or you're out, Nigel. You can't be half in and half out.
Well, listen, all the effort I made to get there, I think I should get a medal for watching 75 minutes of that crap.
Well, afterwards, we tried to gate crash a party, and I almost got roughed up by the bouncers in the second list. Yeah.
having already been beaten up by the stewards.
Oh, no, don't give away that. Don't give away the steward story early.
So let's quickly talk about the game, and then Sean can get to his update on being moan handled by police.
I've been moan handled.
So, football.
You know who
let's
I
talk
am?
About on the pitch first. What did everyone think? I mean, I personally thought it was one of the worst performances I've seen for a very, very long time. It was very disjointed. There wasn't any creativity or will to create anything. And we said, I think, during the game that, you know, it looks like they don't really want to be playing for him. Did anyone else see it differently?
Oh, yeah. I agree. I was with you. We discussed that. It looked to me like there wasn't the effort there. And I might have said it was the first time he done it like they're playing for him. But yeah, it was a pretty poor game all round, wasn't it? So we think we all agree on that.
I don't think we looked like we were playing at home. We looked like we were playing an away game. You know, we didn't have the majority of the possession, and you'll see that when we do stats later. And we just didn't want to attack. It was like we were just, you know, Swansea had turned up with a really poor record, and we were sort of going, come on then, come and attack us, or we'll get you on the break. And you're thinking, we're playing at home. There was no passion. There was no desire. There was no pace. We were just completely devoid of ideas. And I know you're going to say I'm starting early. There's only one man to blame, and that's the manager. And I agree with John. It looked like the players weren't playing for him. And a journalist, a Belize journalist, came out later and said Bilic has lost the dressing room. And you'd think, well, who is this guy? It doesn't matter. But you know who he is? He was in the same car as Diafro Sacco. Diafro Sacco gave this journalist a lift home. And at the same time, he's saying Bilic has lost the dressing room. So make up your own mind on that. I'm not saying he has, but there was something very bizarre going on Saturday.
You are kind of saying he has.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I suppose I am. But you would agree, you said it as well, John, and so did you, George. We all said it. It looks like they're not playing for him anymore.
Yeah, I said it looked like it for the first time. I can honestly say they don't look like they're putting the effort in. But I'm not sitting here saying he has. You're the one who's saying he has. So there he is.
There it is.
Nigel, do you see it the same way?
Well, I can't say that I thought they weren't playing for him. I'll say to Sean, you say Swansea were poor. All their points, I think, have come away from home. So actually, away from home, they're not poor. So they looked very organised. They lacked up front, and we lacked seemingly everywhere. He went 4-4-2, didn't he? And it just couldn't. It didn't seem
but
to
did
gel.
Did he though?
Well,
did
looks
he?
Looks like it to me. Yeah, it did look like it to me. I was quite pleased.
You're high enough up.
Quite out on the right again, wasn't he? For most of
who
it,
was?
He wasn't up front. Hernandez looked like he was out on the right quite a lot still.
It seemed to me that he kept dropping deep, trying to pick the ball up. He was getting frustrated a lot. There was times we broke and we didn't seem to have anyone. There were times Andy Carroll was out wide, crossing the ball in. Where I think it was Ayew sort of got his head to a flick header that went into the keeper's arms. It was one of them games where you've got to be pleased you won the game and you just walk out. I'm surprised at the reaction, I must admit. I am surprised at the negativity coming out after that. I am.
How did Andy Carroll get man of the match? And even Bish on Twitter was saying, who was apparently at the game, he was inspirational. What? Did anyone here believe that Andy Carroll was inspirational or deserved anywhere close to man of the match?
No.
Well, no.
No.
But who was man of the match?
It weren't Ayew.
Yeah, it'd be Sacco, didn't it?
Yeah.
To be honest, so.
Well, I can't say because I didn't see Sacco come on. So, I mean, for me, man of the match, Mark Noble.
What? What? Because he was born in Barking.
Yeah,
he
comes from Canning Town. Why not give it to him? Proper West Ham boy. That's who I'd give it to. Look, when they pick Andy Carroll
Winston
for
Reed.
The match, you know it's just because they want their photo done with him. So
yeah,
that's why they do it. It's not the first.
Yeah, we all know that. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? But it's just, to be fair, the reaction has been, it's been the talk of all the phone-ins, all the radio today, West Ham fans leaving early. West Ham fans doing this, West Ham fans that, you know. So,
well, Swansea didn't even take the full allocation, and so there was that top tier, the away tier, takes 1,200. So that was completely empty. But it's all right, because they still sold out. It was still a sellout, John.
Yeah, well, that's so you and your world, Sean.
It was a sellout. They sold the 1,200 tickets elsewhere, because there's 66,000 seats in the stadium, right? 6,000 of them are covered up, which means there's 60,000 seats. They sold them, but no one's turning up. They estimate around 47,000 people turned up on Saturday out of 57,000 tickets sold. So who are the 10,000 people that bought a ticket and didn't turn up? Well, I tell you, one of them is Nigel's second ticket for his son. She didn't use that, did you? So there's one of them. Am I right,
no,
or am I wrong?
Right. But as I've said before, I've got no shame. I did exactly the same at the bowling. It will be used a lot more this season now that my daughter's boyfriend's going to come and join us. So,
You know, if you miss seven, you lose your ticket.
Yeah, but there's a way to beat that, isn't it? Because as I walked in, I badged the card in. So I walked in on the adult and badged the kid in. There's a way to beat the system. Don't you worry about that.
Right, okay. I still feel you're cheating the system.
Yeah, I must admit.
You're cheating a West Ham fan out of a
ticket.
Just think,
I could have bought 3/4 of a pint of cider at the stadium if I'd have sold my ticket.
Well, that's all you got a choice of, cider or lager.
3/4 of a pint I could have bought for what they would have offered.
More of that later. We've got a catering segment.
I was going to say, Sean, that segues quite nicely into the catering, if you wanted to do that.
Well, we don't, because we've still got to do the stats. Okay. And the gaffer, we've got to keep these things on the running order. Come on, just because you've been missing, you can't suddenly start making up as you go along, George.
No, but I'm all about the editorial output, Sean. So, you know, if it feeds in nicely, you know, sometimes you can move the running order around.
Let John tell his story first.
It's sort of ruined. So let's just stick to the running order. Stat attack. West Ham had 43%. Swansea had 57%. We had 9 shots with 4 on target. They had 6 shots with 1 on target. So, you know, possession-wise, we didn't dominate at all, but it looks like we were trying harder to score and look more likely to score if you look at the shots.
But good for Sakho. Comes on the 90th minute. We're all saying it's a 0-0 draw, but he's motivated. Let me tell you, I've just found out, and we found out on Clarence Hugh, that he's on a new deal. And that new deal is, he used to be on 27 grand a week. He's now on 33 grand a week basic. Every time he comes on, he gets 30 grand appearance money. If he's on the bench instead, he gets 15 grand, and he gets 10 grand a goal. So that's his motivation now, money. And it's always been money.
So they gave him a new deal.
Good luck to him. I'm just saying he's on a new deal. I'm not saying when he got that new deal, Nigel.
Was that when the pantomime season was in the transfer window when he went to the races and all that?
I can't tell you that. I don't have that information. All I'm saying is the package he's on now.
Mm. And when did that change?
September the 1st.
He can't tell you that.
Sean, do you want to introduce the next part now we've done the stat attack? I think next on the running order is this.
Sure. Let's see what the gaffer had to see.
Slaven, congratulations. Relief, I'm sure, at the end. Talk us through your emotions, though.
It's a relief. I mean, it's great 3 points for us. We started well. First 10 minutes, we got a great chance, and we were on out from foot. But then after that, it was simply not good. First half, when we were doing, like, basic mistake in passing, where we were too close to each other when we had a ball. And when they have a ball, they didn't create a lot apart from that shot from Bunny, but they had much of the ball on our half of the pitch, so it wasn't good. So at the half time, we tried in one hand to calm the team down, but also to demand to come with much more aggression in the second half. And then we started better. And then as the game dragged on, we were more and more neutralizing them with the ball, and then especially when we put some players like Lanzini, and after that with Arthur and with the Afrasako, it gave us 3 points. We started to create more, we started to be more present in front of the box with more players, and we knew that we're going to have the advantage on the flanks, that's on the wings where we, that's why we put Arthur there as well, to put some quality balls in. In the end, he done a couple of them, and from one of them we scored.
Must be particularly satisfying as a manager when a double substitution like that, that they link up for the goal and Diafra Sacco scores the winner, because it wasn't particularly well received by the fans at the time, was it?
Yeah, but you know, but it was the same against Huddersfield and the same against Spurs, so we wanted to do the same again. We have some quality players on the bench, and sometimes it's not only how the players who are playing, but we had the quality on the bench and we wanted to put them on, and it was definitely good thing to do today.
In terms of Diafra Sacco, obviously he wanted to leave the club before the transfer window, but you must be delighted with the response from him since.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to him and he's here and he's training good. That's why he's playing almost every game for us, and he made a huge impact today, also after the goal with his keeping the ball and running into the channels. And as I said, it is really, it's all about the squad, and that was very well shown today because they made a huge impact.
You mentioned the disappointing first half performance, and at times there was obvious frustration from the fans. How difficult are the players finding it here at times?
Well, it is very difficult, you know, we started well, we started on the front foot, and then after that, they had much more of the ball, and we were losing the ball very easy with simple passes, and it drains the confidence out of the players. And look, we are under pressure, of course, and the players feel it. But at least, especially in the second half, they showed the determination, they showed the character, they showed the teamwork, and that was basically what gave us 3 points today.
You hadn't shied away from calling it not necessarily must win, but you said it was a crucial game. Was that adding to the pressure on the players? Was that a gamble?
Oh, well, it is. It was a crucial game, you know. No matter what I say to them before a game or towards the game for a couple of days, the players know. They know from, although it's early, it was a crucial game, and sometimes it gives you more determination, but at the same time it can damage a little bit of the confidence and all that. But to be fair, because of that, we won today's game.
And because of that, you go into the international break on the back of a victory. Will that silence some of the questions maybe about your future for a couple of weeks or so?
It's not very important to my position. All that I can say that since the last international window games till break, and this one, we played 4 games, we got 2 wins, we got 7 points, so we improved a lot. We got also 3 clean sheets, which is very important. And it wasn't good, we have to do better and we can play better. But we done well in the last month.
What do you think of that, John?
Well, you know, he's glad, isn't he? He's got the win. So he's taking the positives out of what was quite a poor game, but you know, he's got to take the positives and move onwards and upwards.
But didn't he say we had to do better?
I believe he did, yeah, I think he did.
I sent it to you earlier, John, so you could actually listen to it this time. What have you been doing all day?
You wouldn't believe what I've done since I got in from work, but I'll tell you that.
Oh, you're just a West Ham blagger when it comes down to it.
There's only one blagger on this site.
The biggest West Ham blagger.
Ever.
So, Sean, now we're going to talk about catering. Can you believe it?
Well, no, actually, I think John should start this story, because John started this story. So he needs to tell you how this catering segment came
along. John.
John,
please start us off.
Well, how did he suggest that I've started this story?
What did you say to me? You said you need to talk to your mate. You need to talk to your mate.
Talk to your people and
you said,
find out why.
You need to talk
why.
To Karen and get this sorted out.
How hard is it to have an alternative than just drinking lager and cider at the bar? Last season, we went to the bars tucked around the sides. For a while, they had bitters on draft, and then they started having tins of Murphy's or whatever it was.
It was Murphy's.
Different beers. So how hard is that? And that was how I started this story. I was like, I've come to there. We've got in early because of all the checks and all of that. And what we want to do is go in there, have a beer. I don't want a pint of lager.
So, or cider.
Or cider. So, you know, we were with Dave. He didn't, I mean, he was drinking gin and tonics. It's like, you want some choice. It's not that hard to have a few tins of, they can say it goes out of date, they can say it does this, they can do, but, you know.
But we just explained to our listeners, just so they understand, we're in block 113, so we're landlocked in our part of the concourse. So one side we've got Club London, the other side we've got the away. So we're limited, we're unable to walk around to other bars, etc., or
true,
food kiosks.
Right.
No, it is, without leaving the ground.
Yes,
you can't do that at half-time, Nigel.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. Not and have time
you're,
to do well, it.
You're
going to suggest
walking around the inside, aren't you?
Walk around the inside and go to the bar in front of the big screen. I mean, I don't think they've got...
Oh, you're not going to make it in time and half-time. It's 15 minutes, mate.
Listen, your little legs
anyway,
are
making... You're spoiling the story. The story didn't end there. Because it wasn't just lack of lager, lack of bitter, was it, John? What happened then in the half time?
You'd never believe it, would you?
You won't believe it.
We only tried to get a hot dog, didn't we?
And they sold
and that,
out. Of them.
That was just too much to ask.
Not only hot dogs, but pies as well. No pies, no hot dogs. And what did you say to the person behind Delaware North, behind the kiosk? What did you say to them?
I said, "Didn't you expect us?"
Didn't you know we were coming?
Didn't
you know there was a football game?
It's just ridiculous, but there you go. So, as a consequence, you've had a moan-up, have you?
I've had a moan-up. So, John, you did say to me, well, why don't you talk to your mate Karen? So I wrote to Karen Brady this morning. Well, actually, on Sunday. And as a result, I spoke to the catering manager, Nick, who spoke to Richard at Delaware North, and as from John, this is what can be done, right? As from Friday, the Brighton game, there will be Murphy's, there will be bitter available. They're going to look at their wastage and they're going to make sure they've got more hot dogs and more pies on for Brighton games. So there you go, hooray!
Hey.
What you want, John? We get.
What you don't realise is Murphy is actually the Irish man that's going to be serving you. And he was still saying, "I'm sorry, the bitter's off."
They did say that they only sold 43 cans of Murphy's.
They only sold what?
In our area, our whole area of those three bars, they only sold 43 cans
season.
A game of Murphy's.
A game.
I said, "Well, that was probably John then." A game, yeah.
43 cans a game. So why don't you just have a crate of Murphy's there.
Well, that's what they're going to do just for you. They're going to stock Murphy's just to stop them.
I don't
guarantee 40... having the ache with the catering people now.
I don't have 43 cans of beer or a game, do I? But, you know, that's 43 people who'll be happier, Sean. So well done. Well done,
yeah.
Sean.
And we're going to try and range a couple of free drinks and a couple of free pies
Sean, what stage are you going to tell us about how you were treated by the stewards? I think everyone's best.
Oh, well, yeah. So, I was assaulted. No, I wasn't assaulted. That would be a little bit of an exaggeration.
Well, you may as well exaggerate. You were exaggerated all night, really.
That story did get worse and worse, that story.
So, here's a story. Post-match, and it's related to the catering story, John said, let's go and have a pint, let's sup a pint of iron ale under the party deck by the big screen. And we said, oh, yeah, let's do that. Let's sup some real ale.
Yeah.
And we went to walk around the walkway at the back of the lower tier on the west end, which is where the bridges come across, where they've got the trampolines and the gaps. So we're walking along there. And there's two stewards standing there right in front of the director's box. Now, usually, apparently from a few games ago or last season, someone tried to spit and gesture and was rude and shouting obscenities to Karen Brady. And therefore they stopped people walking past in the game. Right? But this is long after the game. It's 10 minutes. The director's box was empty, almost empty, certainly of directors. Anyway, John, George and Dave is with us, walked past. I think John got sort of tugged back and he just shrugged him off, and so did George. And they stopped me, two of them. One grabs me around the waist and the other one grabs me on the arm. And they manhandle me and say, "You're not getting past, mate. You shall not pass." And I say, There's no one at the director's box. Just let me through. My mates have already gone through. At this point, John's laughing, right? Not helping me, I say. He's laughing. And they say, you've got to walk around the outside or we're going to eject you.
They're going to throw you out after the game.
They're going to throw me out. And I thought, go on then, throw me out then. Go on, try your luck, throw me out. So I'm trying to be quite obstructive and say, no, I want to go through there. And there's no reason that you need to stop me going through there because there's no directors there. And lucky enough,
you survived.
A London Stadium 185 manager came to my rescue, and
he said,
"Leave him alone. Leave him alone.
He's the most well-known West Ham blagger in the whole of."
And he said, "Oh, these stewards are the bane of my life.
Picking on the little people."
So of course. Afterwards, I wrote to everybody I know at the club and London Stadium 185 to tell them this story. I wasn't beaten up by two stewards. Well, technically it is assault, but I'm not going to press charges.
You're going, your first effort of telling someone is you're going, I've been moan-handled.
Moan-handled. But we were right. We went to the sports bar instead afterwards. And the end of this story is, we did finally get our hot dog in the sports bar in Canary Wharf.
Thank God for that, John.
Unbelievable. Thank God.
There's a happy story, happy ending to the story.
So moving on, we have a new investor in the club. I don't really know much about him or what's gone on. I mean, Sean, I'm sure you've got the lowdown to share.
So his name is Trip Smith. And the thing to know is, He's an American. Well, actually, here's a little story, right, I'm going to tell you today. He's actually not an American billionaire. I wrote the story saying he was an American billionaire, and The Sun and everybody else has copied this. He's actually not a billionaire. He's actually a hundred millionaire. He's got hundreds of millions of dollars, right? But he's not a billionaire.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
But it didn't sound right on the headline for Clarion U. So I said American billionaire. And everybody's copied this now. But he's not an American billionaire.
You made it up, then.
West Ham blagger.
Well, he's got about 800. He's got 700 or 800 million. But you can't say multi-millionaire. It doesn't sound the same. So I said American billionaire.
So you've got all the fans excited. They think we're going to be bought by this American, that we're going to win the league, and then we're going to win the Champions League, all off the back of this American billionaire. And he's going to turn up and go, so I've run out of money.
I'm telling the truth now, aren't I? He just, you know, you've only got so many characters in a headline.
Jay, aren't you? And we ended up with Bobby.
Anyway, apparently he likes football. He likes West Ham.
Showing your age there. He's just showing your age.
He's a mate of David Sullivan.
It's all gone down here.
And you know, it's all friends now because I'm told that the Icelandics weren't very supportive. You know, they sat on the board and did very much. I can't tell you what the deal was worth because it's confidential, but it's a lot more. So originally, the whole West Ham, when the shares were first sold, were £105 million. So David Sullivan actually had an option on these shares for the original price of 10.5 million. He didn't exercise that. And my understanding is Tripp paid significantly more. There is a whole package, and that whole package, we don't exactly know what it is, but it's more.
Well, I read somewhere he paid 100 million. What?
He didn't pay 100 million.
What was the percentage he gets?
10%.
He gets 10%. Why would he pay 100 million? Who would say he paid 100 million? That would value us a billion. It's not true.
But it just shows now, this shows why the Icelandics chose Golden Sullivan for the 50%. Yeah, because I've always said from day one, they chose them two with the 50%. With the promise of the Olympic Stadium, the rise in the share price means that they'll get more money back in the future for selling. So they got, how much have they, can we work out what they've had overall? Because they've obviously, well, the Icelandics sold 50% of the club to Golden Sullivan for 50 million.
Well, they sold 50% and they sold
then
more.
Then they've sold more. So they've had back,
Well,
let's say they've had 150 million back.
No, they haven't. Nowhere near that.
Well, they could have got 100 million. Hold up. If they sold 50% of the club for 50 million, so in 2010, the club was worth 100 million. So they've sold.
Yeah. And they've sold 80, they've sold 90% of it at that price, 105 million.
So they sold 90% for what, 90 million?
More like 90.
Right. So what did they get for this 10%? Let's say they got 20,
I can't
30
tell
million.
You that, but it was.
I mean, if the club's worth what, 500 million, 10%, 50 million.
Well, let's just say, for instance, I can't tell you the actual figure, but let's just say, for instance, it was 25.
Let's say, for instance, it was 25. So the club's valued at 250 million, yet apparently they've turned down 600 million bid the other year, last year. Something right there.
No comment. But I've been told, look, let me just tell you, this guy, he bought privately. I know Blackstone own, I think, Uber, and they own Merlin Entertainment and things like that. This wasn't a Blackstone deal. This was Tripp buying it himself. He's come to see a few games. He just wants to have a bit of fun, I'm told. He's got no ambitions. I know people are speculating he's going to take over the club and Blackstone is going to take over the club. Absolutely not, I've been told. Cast iron not. Are the owners going to sell? I've been told cast iron, they're not going to sell any more shares to Tripp, and they've got no plans to sell up. So there you go.
That's good.
He's an American friend who will help increase the brand in America.
Another now in
West Ham Wonder.
What it really means is it can all stay the same, can't it?
West Ham Wonder.
Soccer.
Moving on. So, Sean, there's been a load of polls today in the world of West Ham blogs, all to do with should we give Slav till the end of the season or get him out now?
Well, you've been giving me a hard time. I've been saying consistently for several weeks, Slav has been given to the end of the season. John said, if you believe that. And I've been saying this on West Ham Till I Die, I've been saying on this podcast for several weeks, he won't get sacked and whatever. No one's ever believed me. Suddenly, Darren Lewis, very well connected, and Ken Dyer say it today in the Mirror and the Standard, and suddenly it's a big story. And this is what I've been saying all along. They
that's
won't sack
they're
him.
Journalists.
And I'm a blagger.
Sorry.
Unbelievable, John.
That deserved a drum roll or something, didn't it? Come on.
The Slav polls.
The majority say out.
Despite the win, West Ham Social, 68% say out, 32% say in, and that was over 6,000 people took place in that. And then another one, 42 said they're still for Bilic, 58% out, and that was 4,225.
I can see the I think even polls. Though with the 3 points at the weekend, I think everyone's been a little more frustrated, especially now that they've performed in that way. And you know, like we said, it was evident that they weren't really that bothered. So I can understand why people are getting restless.
Are you frustrated, George?
Yeah, I think it's definitely frustrating watching that on Saturday. I mean, on paper we've got a really good squad, and it's just frustrating to see, you know, when they're not bothered like they were on Saturday, or they're being played out of position like they have been earlier on in the season. I think Yeah, it is frustrating.
Look, they're going to let his contract run down, right, and replace him in the summer. I don't think they want to talk about it because it probably doesn't help West Ham and doesn't help the team, but that's the truth of it.
But what they will, will talk about is wanting to sell players in January already.
Yeah, and Everton, there's been a story that Everton are prepared to pay.
Where
after
that story come
start.
From?
Yeah,
sorry?
Where's that come from?
What? The Sun that said Everton are prepared to pay 20 million. They're very close to Carroll.
I can't read the Sun.
20 million for Carroll after they want to replace Lukaku with Andy Carroll. And West Ham want 12 million for Sacco in January. And my question to all of you is, you know, if we got 20 million for Carroll, if we got 12 million for Sacco, should we let them both go in January? George?
I'd say yes, get rid of Carroll, but I think keep hold of Sacco. I know he's a tricky character, but I think give him a run in the team and get him back on side, he could be a valuable player. And keep him fit.
John?
I agree with George. I think Carroll's, for all of the character and all the effort he shows, he's proven time and time again he can't play a run of games. And I would get rid of him if the money comes in, and I would keep Sacco. If he's money motivated, put him on a deal like they've got him on and play him and watch them goals come. It strikes me as it's quite amusing that he's one of only two players that scored any goals this season. They've already put a price tag on him.
Nigel?
Get rid of Carroll. Keep Sacco. Sacco's goals. He keeps proving it. I know people slag him off for what happened going off to Rennes and whatever. He's sorted out. He pulls the shirt on. He scores a goal. And
I'm going to be fairer to Sacco. I think you didn't hear the whole story on what happened when he went to France. I'm not sure the whole story will ever come out. I'm just saying there's two sides to the story. I'm not sure that him going off without any permission is exactly right.
So keep him.
Yeah.
But I say get rid of both of them. I've had enough of Carroll, and I think, you know, he'll only break down again. But I worry about Sacco and his back, and I think, you know, he's hardly got any contract left as well. He'd be off for free anyway soon. How much has he got left on his contract?
You just said he's been put on a new one.
Put on a new deal,
he's got an option for another 12 months, I said,
no,
but I didn't say he'd extended
on a new
time.
Deal.
No, I said a new deal. I didn't say that he'd extended his contract,
what,
did I?
So just they've gone, oh, it runs out at the end of the year, but don't worry because we're going to bang more money on you. We'll ignore you just walked off to France without anyone saying anything, but there's a few more.
Well, there's more to this.
Sacks
right.
Back's crap. But
I can't go into all the details, but... George. There's more to this story than meets the eye, Nigel.
And we're throwing money at him. No, not having it.
All right.
Just put him on. If they put him on parity with other strikers in the club, he'd stay, wouldn't he?
Well, if he plays, he gets $65,000 plus a goal bonus.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if he's saying he's only got 12 months, he can go anyway.
Do nothing.
You know what I mean? Well, like, if they get rid of both of those players. Look at who they buy. Look at what they've brought in. Look at the money they spent for Ayew, Arnautovic. What are they going to buy?
Neymar.
Really?
Yeah, Ayew. Ayew was getting I did a story today on Clarence Hugh about Ayew getting so much grief from fans on social media.
Oh, please.
And there's a question here. There's a follow-up question, which is Ayew rubbish, right, and a really bad buy at 20 million? Or is it Bilic not getting the best out of Ayew?
Mate, why do people keep going on about Bilic? This is what's screwing this club down. People keep moaning about Bilic. Leave the man alone. Jesus Christ.
But you don't get if you play a player out of in not his natural position. In the end, you're going to make him a bad player, no, Nigel?
Yeah, players should be adaptable. People moan. People go, oh, he's on $85,000 a week. He should be able to kick a ball with 2 feet. And then when the bloke's put out on the left or out on the right, they go, well, he's played out of position. Must be the manager's fault. What a load of old rubbish, I tell you.
Excuse me. I'm just going to rewind back to when Sam
Allardyce
was in charge.
Right, different because Allardyce
hang on, and you were slagging off Sam Allardyce.
Of this club. I was against Allardyce.
Oh, here we go.
Appointed. from the day Allardyce walked into the club, I said, this is wrong. We've sold our soul down the river. I tell you what, there's people out there that go, oh, I'd rather have Allardyce back. Go fuck yourselves, you pricks. I'd say, yeah. The man, after an Ian Dury song, he had another rant. I'll tell you, he's a plum.
Sorry. Nigel, let's move on to someone you're more keen on. You spoke to the West Ham legend. I saw, Sean, you called him a legend and he disagreed with you on Twitter.
He did, actually.
But you spoke to David Cross in the week,
yes.
Nigel.
Yeah, it was an honour and a pleasure. Half hour I wanted. It ended up being 1 hour and 15 minutes. And we had like a nice 15-minute personal chat after. So, yeah, it was...
Football friends. Did you impress him with your historic
like
knowledge?
I did a bit of research on him, but then stuff came to me that I remembered watching him play during the time. I'd wanted to concentrate just on his playing. I didn't want to ask him about the current politics stuff with the stadium, the managers, and the way it was just about his time at West Ham when he played for us, and it went really well. I hope that.
Did you hear it, boys?
I've listened to it all, but I've listened to some of it on my commute home, and it sounds good. I think you did a great job, Nigel.
Yeah, the pick up from me.
I recommend it.
Yeah, so it's a separate episode, but the pick up for me was he talked about the players and said we were never 100% fit. He said, at best, we were only 85. He said, but basically, we only really earned money if we played. He said, so you had to play to earn, you know, half-decent money. And also, you'd lose your first-team place. So we played, unless we had a broken leg. And that just shows up the current modern footballer. You know, any tweak or anything, they're not playing. But the likes of Crossy and Bonds, they'd play whatever, wouldn't they, as long as they had two legs.
I said, in 80-81, we played about 60 games that season. We got the League Cup final. We quarterfinals of the European Cup Winners' Cup. We got knocked out by Wrexham in the FA Cup in the third round, but that was after two replays, plus 42 league games. So they did all that. I think we only used 14 players, 15 players. So yeah. He played in about 57, 58 games that season. And they smoked, they drank, they played on shit pitches and had a crack diet. And they can still go out and perform the way they did.
So Andy Carroll should be all right, really, shouldn't he?
He does all of the other stuff as well.
Yeah. But going back to what David Cross said on Twitter about being a legend, he said Bobby Moore was a legend, Billy Bonds was a legend, I was a West Ham worker who scored goals. And that's the way he sees himself. I still think he's a bit of a legend.
He said it himself. He was a goal scorer. If people asked him, he said, that's what I did. They go, you as a footballer. He said, no, I was a goal scorer. That is what he went out to do. And he was rather good at it. When you look at his record, I said, if you compare his record, De Canio's at West Ham for 4.5 season, David Cross scored double the goals De Canio scored.
Yeah. Well, now Nigel's broken his cherry. We have got a few more lined up. So we've got phone numbers for Billy Bonds. We've got phone numbers for Phil Parks. We've got phone numbers for Tony Cotty. I spoke to Tony last week. We've got phone numbers for Frank McAvenny, if you can understand him. John Artson and Bish, who else?
I'll tell you who I want if you can get it.
We've got a few lined up.
We have.
Do you reckon you can get that?
Really?
Yeah, well, we'll try. If you know any old West Ham footballers we haven't mentioned and you've got their numbers or you know how to contact them.
Do you think he'd talk, Nigel, about it?
I've had a few exchanges with him on Twitter, funny enough, and every time I've tweeted him, he's replied to me. Even to the point where I asked him, does he still own his chip shop in Manchester? And he came back and went, yes, he does. And I once got him to apologise. I think Sean even made a story out of the tweet on Claret and You. He even apologised once for the way West Ham was for him. the way it went.
Yeah.
So, but if you look back at his 7 months, it was a turbulent 7 months at the club that probably could fill up an hour's chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get on it, Sean.
We will. And we're going to do one with Harry Redknapp. We're going to get Ian Dale to do a Harry Redknapp interview as well.
It's time for this. It's Facebook Twitter question time. So Sean, you put on Facebook earlier at facebook.com/morethanjustapodcast. Send us your questions as statements, fact or general rants for us to discuss during the podcast. We've got quite a few, so I'll whiz through them. Paul Sanders says, do we really have to play a game at 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve? Has that been moved?
Not yet, but I've run a story about this day on Clarence Hughes saying...
it's Newcastle, there, isn't it?
There is a chance that they've got to have two games, one at 4 p.m, one at 1 p.m. And, of course, we've got a chance that it could be West Ham-Newcastle from the Saturday. I know that Spirit of Shankly have written a statement about it, supported by the West Ham United Independent Supporters Association, of all which of Nigel is a committee member.
Well, all of them have signed, haven't they?
Were you consulted on that, Nigel? Well,
was it?
Was it supported, Will? I know we'd like...
Yeah, it says if you go on the Spirit of Shankly website, I ran a story today, supported by West Ham United Independent Supporters Association.
Do you know,
they put a
you must know
out.
That Listen, if you're a committee member, Nigel.
Because going to football on Boxing Day is the biggest argument in my household, and it has been for years. And personally, I don't see a problem with football on Christmas Eve if we don't play on Boxing Day. I'd rather go Christmas Eve than Boxing Day. I've done everything by it.
Yeah, I think I probably would as well.
I suppose it's for the Newcastle fans and the Liverpool fans that have to travel a long way.
Telly, then?
Yeah.
It's also Darren for Kitchen everyone says, else involved in it.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I would say what, like, well, all the stewards, referees. All the, well, it's just loads of people getting have to go work on Christmas Eve and have a well, full day
of
it.
A lot of people do work on Christmas Eve, don't they?
Yeah. By the way, Nigel, 87% disagree with you in a Clarence Q poll today that football should not be played.
That's not like you, Nigel.
Well, should football be played on Boxing Day then? Boxing Day's more of a family.
Well, that's another poll for another day.
Another story, Sean. More content for you. There you go. Darren Kitchen says, Sacco smiled on Saturday. At the same time, in distance, hell froze over. AU was a joy to behold. Surely a forerunner for Hammer of the Year. Cresswell's form makes him a must for the England side.
What? Sarcasm.
Sarcasm.
Just a bit. Lee Peathers says, how much would it cost to pay up Bilic's contract? Sean, any idea?
So he's on about 1.2 million a year. So what has he got? I mean,
less than
just,
a year
just
left.
Under £1 million.
Ed Hawthorne says, if Bilic had never played for us, would he have been sacked by now?
No.
They don't sack managers, do they?
Because they don't sack people. Well, managers.
Alex McFarlane asked about the investors. We've already touched on that. Ed Hughes says, boring football, lack of confidence, square pegs in round holes. If the broad plan is to keep Slav, what does he do to turn it around? Nigel, as one of the only real Bilic supporters on the podcast, what does he do to turn it around?
Well, look, we've set up shop with the defence. We're playing better defensively. He's got a little tinkering to do. Lanzini's coming back. Lanzini's our creative player. Let's see what he can do now. Lanzini's back on. Sacco back getting the goals. We've got some few easy games coming up. Burnley, Brighton, Palace. You know, I think by the end of October we could be sitting in top 10. And let's hear the moaners moan.
Andrew Johnson says, great interview with David Cross. Really enjoyable listen. Thinking about his observation that players of his era were only 85% right when they played, it does beg the question why so many of our current crop always seem to have something bloody well wrong with them. Yeah, we agree. Paul Cole says, I've been a supporter of this board and the way they have turned things around since the Biscuit Barons, but their indecisive approach to managers, in brackets Big Fat Sam and now Bilic, where they write off a season and let contracts run out, is more than annoying. They need to accept they've made a mistake and put it right. I agree with that.
I agree.
They are sort of just writing off the season, aren't they? If they're just going to let it sort of
peter out. Well, they've done it with Avram, didn't they? They let that peter too long.
With Bilic, though, if he does well, if he gets a cup run and finishes top 10, they can't sack him.
No, they're not going to sack him. They're just not going to give him a new contract. There's a difference between sacking.
Why?
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Yes, they can.
Jog on, next one.
We go over to Twitter. Robert Jesse says, "Are we deluded? We moan when we don't win. We win and we still moan. We must be making any future manager really excited about coming in."
I've heard all this on the radio today. They keep saying stuff. Look, I think the bottom line is that people have been, we've all been sold this dream move, this success, this whatever. I just think people are just getting a bit tired of it all. Because it's
John,
just same old. Yep.
Is it true you bumped into Ancelotti in Stratford on Saturday?
Well, you were quite keen to get that out there, so yeah, you did.
So tell us about it. How did you bump into him?
Well, he's a family friend.
In the departure lounge.
You're not allowed to say anything more than that.
Yeah.
Well, we got that wrong, really. We should have just said London Airport.
Anthony Collins says, "How long do you give it until Hernandez will want to leave?"
No, I don't think he'll want to leave yet.
And Hick Jadurchi says, "Isn't it time for the Bilic outcamp to get behind Slav on the side? He never hides away and never makes excuses. Awful display, but a good result."
Yes, it is. Just get on with it. If they keep saying they're just going to stay with
him. He says the doubters should try and see the positives. We've got two wins from the last three home games, plus a narrow loss to a title contender. 7 points from the last 12 and 3 clean sheets. Lanzini to be match fit soon, onwards and upwards. There's a positive man.
Yeah.
And that's it for Facebook Twitter question time. So that leaves us with predictions for Burnley. Are we going to... Yeah, it'll be our next game, won't it?
Yeah.
What do we think, Nigel? Well, starting with you.
Draw. 1-1.
Sean?
I know Burnley are doing quite well at the moment, but I'm going to go for a surprising 2-0 win away, and it will shock people. Hernandez with a brace.
John?
I was going to say a draw as well, so I'll go for a 0-0.
I was going to say a 0-0. I'll go for a 1-0 loss.
Wee.
To end the podcast positively.
Now, I guess Sean, we're not here next week, yeah, because Sean, it's the international break.
Question, Sean.
Go on.
Sean, what's happening with these flags that have been confiscated?
I have got people looking into it. I'm only aware of one. Is there more than one?
There was a couple. I sent you about one or two, I thought.
Yeah, so I've got people looking into it.
The Wiesa one was nicked, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was returned, though, I believe.
Was it?
Yeah. Look, there are certain places. There is new advertising. There's new brand. People keep on putting it over advertising. People are paying a lot to have that advertising.
Well, they're not
people
advertising anything. They're only advertising.
They can't put flags where they are. The rule is you must give them to a matchday SLO, and a matchday SLO will hang them up in the allotted Club London area. You cannot just hang flags where you want. That's stopped this season.
Modern day stadium.
The club phoned up because they knew that was going to happen last season when they told people to get the flags. They knew that they were putting the flags was empty.
Well, we thought if there wasn't a naming provider. No, we didn't.
They knew that wasn't theirs to have. That was to the stadium's advertising.
Advertising was coming in for the World Championships, wasn't it?
Wait till I get my flag out.
Well, there is.
There'll be fires coming. That digital,
Sean, was coming, wasn't it, for the World Championships? You knew that.
The digital was coming. It's funny enough, they still got no advertiser on it. It's still not paying for itself. So you can't put it... I know, you know, Cologne Hammers put some, and it got taken down. You can't put it over an advertising hoarding, even if it is not covering over a logo. Because the TV cameras point that way, and there is a rule not to have flags by the where sponsors are paying millions of
rule.
Pounds.
A football stadium. Well, it ain't a football stadium, actually, is it?
Well, it's not our stadium, is
it? It's athletic stadium. Pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's it for Mordor's podcast this week.
Yeah, I was just going to say, although we're not here next week, We will, and I'm going to try and get someone lined up for Nigel, then have another... So next week, we'll hopefully have another interview special by Nigel Carr. He doesn't know this yet. Ta-da!
Thanks for listening. I've been George. Sean has been...
here.
John has been...
Sitting around with my mate Ancelotti.
Sex Nigel and drugs been. And Billy Chin.
Thanks for listening. Come on, you Irons.
Come on, you Irons!
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.